12 degrees below zero, and that means as we start the best 5 minutes of the day with Jason Kanz, that, hey, we're warming up. We had been minus 13, so are you feeling the heat?
I don't know if that's the phrasing I would use.
Yeah.
Negative 12 still feels very cold to me.
Really thick frost.
I'm grateful that I can...
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm really grateful I can be talking to you from inside my house this morning.
Yes, I hear you. Yeah, one of those things where this morning it was like, I don't want to get out of bed. You know, it just, it's just so warm and snug in there. And so then you decide, and then once you get out and realize that the frost is really thick, it's not messing around today, and you need the defroster to go a while, you're like, yeah. In all sorts of ways, I should have started earlier. We do have a bit of a delay. Black River Falls delayed 2 hours. No morning 4K or early childhood. Melrose Mindoro delayed 2 hours. Those are the only delays we have. Don't you feel like you're a part of a real radio show when I do those updates like that?
I do. You know, I think of growing up, and they would always read the delays on WHBL, which was the local AM station.
Uh-huh.
And you know, as a kid, there's just something waiting excitedly for your school to be called.
No question about it. Well, I mentioned yesterday that my friend Lloyd, who is frequently an usher at church, he asked on the way into church, he's like, you know, he said a positive word about enjoy hearing you on the radio. And he's like, how long have you and your friend, how did you and your friend meet? And, you know, I just kind of took a second because I'm like, right away, I'm like, oh, he must mean Jason. I'm like, well, we've just known each other. Well, Lloyd, you deserve a better answer. So, do you want to tell it?
Well, so it started, I don't even remember what year it was, but we hosted a
2011.
Dinner.
2011.
A dinner here for Peter Flomo. Uh-huh. And so you came to the house for Teamwork Africa.
And he was our co-founding friend who co-founded Teamwork Africa with us on that side, yeah?
Yep. So I had a group of people here then, and, you know, we talked and interacted, but didn't really make any connection. But what happened was I had gone in 2013 to the School for Spiritual Direction that Larry Crabb runs.
Yeah.
And Larry Crabb happened to mention his favorite radio host was this guy, Mark Halverson, from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I was like, I know that guy.
Who nobody in that room had ever heard of, for sure, except
right.
you.
And, you know, right. So I was, you know, I'm in North Carolina, and Larry, I don't know that he had necessarily at that point made the connection that you and I had any contact with one another. But I reached out to Mark and said, hey, Larry mentioned you by name. And that led to a lunch, a sit down at the Coffee Grounds in Eau Claire. And it has just gone from there, gone deeper and deeper over the years.
Yeah, it has. And, yeah. Anyhow, I didn't know that I knew. I knew there was kind of a mutual admiration society, but much more me toward him. And so that was basically put that on my tombstone. Mark was Larry Crabb's favorite interviewer. That'd be good enough. So anyhow. And so I'm going to announce right now that means starting tomorrow, because Larry passed at the last day of February 2 years ago. And so starting tomorrow, it's Crabb Fest, because Larry, Jason... Actually, here's the thing. I mean, he got so into Larry Crabb that he read all of his books, having read none of them prior, and actually puts together a book called Living in the Larger Story, The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb, in which you finished off this wonderful summary of so many of it, basically all of his books. I think Waiting for Heaven may be a late edition. But what I want to do is, day by day, you and I will decide, we'll message today about where we're going to start. We won't start at the very beginning. Okay. But I want to want to share. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and year four might as well do it. But I want to share, you know, some of what you wrote about those books. And then especially when we get to 66 Love Letters, we're going to finally do something I've wanted to do as well, which is work through the story everyone needs to hear, which is Larry taking the Bible and putting it in 66 paragraphs. So are you ready for Crabb Fest?
I think so. I can't ever... hate spending time with Larry. I think just so good.
I know.
And so influential in my life and your life. So
absolutely. All right, let's do a Bible verse today. Let's do Philippians 2:19.
Sure. It says, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along.
All right. And in Jason's Letters to the Beloved, which is very influenced by Larry and 66 love letters, I think. Paul's Absolutely. Affection for Timothy was palpable. He wrote this letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison cell, so Timothy was often his lifeline to the growing church. It is good for you to know what is happening with your brothers and sisters outside your local community of faith. It helps you to understand what I'm doing in this world. Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think it's good to know. I think sometimes we can get very tunnel vision and forget that there's a whole movement of the church around the world and good things happening. And so I think that's partly what we can draw from that.
And also, I think you came up with Paul's affection for Timothy was palpable. I don't know if I've ever read anybody say that, but there we go. Very substantive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific.
He loved that boy.
He did.
you know, and so, yeah.
There we go. Thanks, Jason. Crabfest starts tomorrow. We'll talk to you then on WWIB. Well, it's 12 days until the Super Bowl. One day tomorrow after midnight already. It's February. But, you know, I went over to a friend's house to watch the game, and his wife was kind enough to kind of make us some homemade nacho cheese dip to enjoy with some tortilla chips to watch the game. So things to know about nacho cheese maybe that we didn't know this morning, Caleb.
Yes. So Americans will spend a collective 10 million hours to prep food for the Super Bowl, which is probably maybe why we lean on nacho cheese. It's simple to warm up and add to a bowl or add to another dish. Nachos were actually invented, however, by accident.
Yeah, in Mexico at a restaurant called the Victory Club. Back in 1943, Chef Ignacio Nacho Anaya. Wow, that's how it came. It was his nickname. Needed to feed a group of military wives who had arrived in his restaurant without warning but couldn't find any food in the kitchen.
In desperation, he melted cheese on some tortillas and sprinkled it with peppers. The dish was an instant hit and a legend was born.
It could be a movie. If quantity is more important than quality for your nachos, a Sam's Club offering 106-ounce canisters of the stuff for
$10. 106 ounces of nacho cheese.
Wow.
Things you didn't know about nacho cheese in advance of the Super Bowl. On Amazon, you can buy four 140-ounce bags of nacho cheese for $95. Is that like bagged milk at Quick Trip, bagged nacho cheese?
Wow. That is something. It would take 55 orders of Taco Bell nachos to get your daily recommended amount of vitamin C.
That's so random. That would total around 1,550% of your daily allowance of fat, though.
But it would probably make the most delicious heart attack ever.
And finally, a survey a few years ago claimed that nacho cheese is the number one craving among pregnant women.
Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Seriously?
You know, the only it goes back to my wife's first pregnancy. The craving I remember, and maybe there were others, was Kentucky Fried Chicken coleslaw. Any come to mind for you?
Well, I do remember one time, I believe when Lindsay was pregnant with Nora, we were getting ready to go to church, and she really wanted a Burger King burger in the morning, early morning.
Okay.
We're talking like 8 something in the morning. She wanted a Burger King burger.
Yeah.
I think they might have even been open in the morning then, too, because they were running a campaign then about burgers, not just for lunch and dinner. And so, yeah, we got our a burger very early in the morning.
You meet those pregnancy cravings, that's for sure. We do have a contest right now. It is Tuesday Trivia here on WWIB, and let me right the ship right away.
The number to call is 715-723-2555. As promised, we have two tickets to see Ben Fuller live and in person. What a great concert coming up. King's Conquest, who is at One Fest this summer. They are going to be, or last summer, I guess it would be, they're going to be opening for Ben Fuller. It's called A Night of Hope. All proceeds benefit Northwoods Living Hope, that wonderful shelter for women and children in crisis. So it's in Phillips, Wisconsin, at the high school, Friday, February 10th. And we have two tickets to see Ben Fuller live in person. We've heard from a lot of you who saw him with Zach Williams, and he said, man, he could have his own show. He is that good. We'd love to hear more of him. Well, here you go. Here's your opportunity, and we want to get two of you in for free. Tuesday Trivia on the WIB Wake Up Show, 715-723-2555. Halvo has the question.
Yeah, here's the deal. I work in downtown Eau Claire the rest of the day. One Source Imaging, copiers, desktop printers, supplies. And so I see a lot of different vehicles down there. And I recently saw a vehicle with a license plate from what state? Let me know. 723-2555. Sorry, friends, you can't Google that. I recently saw a vehicle in downtown Eau Claire with a license plate from what state? 7232555. Give us your guess.
I would say 50 options, but you know what? We probably can eliminate Wisconsin. We probably can eliminate that. So 49 options for you to win these Ben Fuller tickets.
Yeah. You know, think outside of the immediate, right? I mean, it's obviously not Minnesota either, so we'll get it down to 48. 7232555. We've got our first guesser. Good morning.
Was it Hawaii?
Was it Hawaii?
It was not Hawaii.
It was not Hawaii. So, call back, though. Try again. 715-723-2555 for two Ben Fuller tickets. What state's license plate did Havo see in downtown Eau Claire the other day?
Good morning.
Good morning. Texas?
Texas.
Good guess, but that is not correct.
Not Texas. Try again. 715-723-2555.
You go, wow, a license plate from there. That's a little different. So 723-2555. Hi.
Hi, was it Florida?
Was it Florida?
Not Florida.
Not Florida, but a good guess, because we do see a lot of Florida license plates around here.
These days, you'd see a lot of Wisconsin plates in Florida.
Down there,
Good morning. What's your guess?
Good morning. How about, like, Rhode Island?
Rhode Island?
Rhode Island would be different, but that wasn't
guess.
It.
Not Rhode Island, though.
A few more guesses. We'll give you maybe a bit of a hint. Good morning.
Good morning. How about Oregon?
Oregon, the Pacific Northwest. Good guess, but that wasn't it.
I feel like Oregon has a big tree on their license plate.
I have no idea. Good morning. What's your guess on the WIB Wake Up Show?
I have to guess Hawaii.
You're going to guess Hawaii? That's been guessed, so you get a bonus guess. Go ahead. What do you think? Name another state.
Minnesota.
And we already said it wasn't Minnesota. Guess a third time.
Get another guess.
Connecticut
is a good guess, but that's not it.
Not Connecticut. And we want to give someone these Ben Fuller tickets either this hour or next hour. What state's license plate did Havo see in downtown Eau Claire the other day?
Yeah, good morning. What's your guess?
Good morning. How about New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, a good guess, but unfortunately, that's not it.
I believe their license plate says live free or die.
Yeah, so. I believe you're correct. Yeah, good morning. The first state with a primary. Good morning.
Is it Washington?
Another Pacific Northwest. It's not that one.
Not Washington. These are the incorrect guesses so far, and we already eliminated Wisconsin, Minnesota. Havo did not see a license plate from Hawaii, Texas, Florida, Rhode Island, Oregon, Connecticut, New Hampshire, or Washington.
All right. What state did I see? Good morning.
How about New Jersey?
You know what? I did see a New Jersey one recently, but that's not the one we have in mind. So you want to guess again?
How about Missouri?
Missouri is not correct.
Missouri.
There we go. So gave him a little bonus guess there I did see in New Jersey, but that's not the one we had to get it down to one. Good morning. And what's your guess this morning?
Is it Alaska?
Not Alaska.
Beautiful up there.
I did on another occasion see an Alaska license plate one time down there. Good morning.
Good morning. How about Vermont?
How about Vermont?
Not the state of Vermont, sorry. All right, I'm going to give a hint. It is, it's the state you would say, and when you say this, I mean, it's west of the Mississippi, so say that.
All right. Now you got to know geography. 715-723-2555. So we can send you northeast of us to Phillips to see Ben Fuller.
It's pretty basic, but okay. Good morning.
Good morning. I have two. I'm trying to decide which one. Utah.
Great guess, but that's not it.
Not Utah.
That's certainly west of the Mississippi. Good morning.
What do you think? 715-723-2555.
Hi, we got somebody else. Hi.
Is it South Dakota?
South Dakota is not correct.
Not South Dakota.
Good morning. What's your guess? Hello?
Oh. Louisiana,
as they listen to the radio in the car, and that is not correct.
Not Louisiana.
Thinking out west, kind of to the west of the Mississippi River.
Idaho.
Another good guess, but that is not it.
Great potatoes there.
What state license plate did I see recently downtown Eau Claire? It's west of the Mississippi River. Hi.
All right, you're killing us here, but we're going to say Utah.
Utah's been guessed already,
so you get a bonus guess. Go ahead.
Nevada, I'm sorry.
They speculated in the car, Nevada. It was not Nevada.
Not Nevada. Try again, guys.
Good morning.
Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Wyoming is correct. That's all there is to it. You're going to the Ben Fuller concert in Phillips. Who are we talking to?
All righty.
Who are we talking to?
John Henrik.
John, where are you calling from?
Kind of over by Maiden Rock.
Fantastic. Area. All right. Well, we're going to send you to see Ben Fuller. Hang on the line for us for just a moment longer, John. Congratulations. Yes, Halvel recently saw a license plate from Wyoming, which I believe has a cowboy on a bucking bronco, correct?
You know, I don't remember. Oh. I just know I was struck by the fact that you're into those. I was struck by the fact that I'm like, wow, Wyoming, right here in downtown Eau Claire. So there you go. Here's a sample of what you're going to hear at that concert. Ben Fuller's debut single, Who I Am, on WWIB. I guarantee you'll hear this song. All right, so 12 days to the Super Bowl, and so a lot of stories, I'm sure, about the big game. And it's more than a game, it's a cultural event, right? Yeah.
It really is. And we talked about nacho cheese and how much is consumed on Super Bowl Sunday. But a lot of times, I think when you think about football, it's like, oh, what is a football party going to have? And I would say wings is probably one of the things that pops up the most. Some sort of meat item. But it turns out that wings are not the most popular when it comes to Super Bowl parties all across the great U.S. of A.
Yeah, it turns out meatballs are the number one searched for Super Bowl food, followed by
game day classics like nachos and chicken wings. But again, meatballs, the meaty bite-sized treats, rank as the number one food football fans are searching for online.
Right, yeah, so followed by guacamole's number two.
Very good.
Then chips and salsa is third.
Then tater tots, number four, which is, I don't know that surprise we've had me. Tater tots.
Yeah.
But that would be good, sure.
That surprised me. I'm kind of surprised pigs in a blanket's down the list. Chili's number five. Rounding out the top ten are
hummus,
nachos,
pigs in a blanket,
and spinach artichoke dip, which is good.
Very, very good. All of those.
What about
fantastic.
Like the seven-layer taco dip? That's good.
Oh, yeah. How can you miss that?
Yeah.
The thing is, too, I mean, I have probably mentioned this before, but I enjoy the Super Bowl in a way. I enjoy it more if the Packers aren't in it, because when the Packers are in it, we're always going to have great food.
Okay.
But the last time the Packers were in it, my mom made an incredible spread.
Yeah.
And this was way back before I was married or anything. So my mom made an incredible spread of food. I could not eat any of it.
Intense.
I was so nervous and tense during the game. And afterward, I ate a ton. But now, if the Packers aren't in it, I can just enjoy the game and the food and hopefully the commercials if they're decent this year as well, too. So
you know what, though? I think you've chilled some those years.
Yes.
In those many years.
I think the 2014 NFC Championship loss was my low point.
Yeah.
As a man, as a fan, and since then, I've tried to get better. Hopefully, I mean, my wife would be the real one to answer whether I have, but I think I've realized it's just a game. It's fun, but it's not that important in the grand scheme of things. So
you would have to bring up that game, though. I saw the highlights recently. It was 16-0 Packer lead in the late third quarter.
What happened?
Okay. All right. And again, you know what? The Vikings fans, they've got their share of painful NFC championship and playoff losses, too. So we're not
alone.
We can
all break bread together and have some meatballs and spinach artichoke dip and enjoy watching this year's Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where's the sweet things? Where's, like, the the desserts? I'm kind of missing that. Where's the trail
Seven
mix?
Layer bars along with your seven-layer dip.
Those are very good. Those are unbelievable. Well, comets, not one, but a couple we're talking about.
Yes. And so the first story we have today is a potentially alien comet, they're calling it, zooms toward a very close encounter with our sun. So a bigger and stranger comet than one we'll tell you about in a moment is going to buzz by the sun for a very unusual encounter. So most so-called sun grazer comets are about the size of a house and end up getting vaporized as they get close to our sun, right? But this comet called 96P Macholtz, that's a great name.
Hike. Yes. Sounds like a play.
It's not the size of a house. It's more like the size of a town. It's 3.7 miles across, and at least one astronomer suggests it might also be alien. Alien meaning it didn't necessarily come from our own solar system, but from somewhere a lot further off. And they say if that's the case, it could be very different from all their known comets, and all bets are off on how it will react to what looks to be a super close encounter with our sun. I think this is fascinating.
That is.
I would really love to see what happens when a comet almost 4 miles wide zooms past the sun.
I want to just repeat that because it's so, I'm not the biggest astronomy guy, but oh my goodness, to say again, most so-called sun grazer comets are about the size of a house. Picture your house. And they end up getting vaporized by their daredevil dive around the sun, 93 million miles away. But this current comet, which got a 96P, is more like the about 4 miles. I mean, how many houses is that?
I mean, just take some of the small towns in our listening area and say, what if there was a comet the size of your town?
Wow. No, that is striking. And maybe we should have read the other one, because it's funny because we have this material. And I was looking at the story about the comet passing closest to Earth, the planet we inhabit. Tomorrow, a comet that has not visited the planet since the last ice age and the time of the earlier time will make its closest approach to our planet. The comet, which last passed through the inner solar system around 50,000 years ago, will be at its brightest during this time and may even be visible to the naked eye under the right conditions. The comet should be observable for days as it approaches our planet and then recedes on its way to the outer solar system. Certainly a nightmare in either regard is the idea of you know, a comet actually hitting the Earth, right? Or an asteroid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, wow, what if one actually hit the sun? I don't know. I mean, it's just
I kind of want to see that, and I want a reality television show, Comets versus Sun,
yeah, right.
And see what happens.
Wow.
4-mile-wide comet taking on the sun.
If there's
I feel like
any,
I know who's going to win that.
Scientifically, there's so many things you can get into that strengthen your view of, and again, boy, I talk about something I build my life on, is the idea of a personal infinite God. And Francis Schaeffer was really famous for talking in those terms, a personal infinite God. But I mean, I trust in Jesus. In Matthew 6, the do not worry passage, 25 to 34, he knows the hairs on your head. He feeds the birds. He clothes the lilies. Oh, you of little faith, you know? So it's just like, that is just what I build my faith on.
Yeah. I mean, and when we think about the vastness of space and that this may have come from a completely other solar system, this huge comet and all of that too, but he created all of that.
Yeah.
All of this that we feel like specks compared to the vastness of space. And yet space and its vastness is a speck compared to his immensity.
Yeah, for sure.